back to the Inside Lacrosse podcast. I am Terry Floyd, joined today by Dan Kaplan, the jack of all trades at the Inside Lacrosse office, who contributes in pretty much everything we do, from editorial to data management to event management. And Dan is not only a value part of our staff, but also just a model of the... Is it too harsh to call you a lax rat? How do you feel about that term of endearment?
No, that's a total compliment.
So, Dan, for listeners who haven't been introduced to you and those who have likely did so, either because they're tremendous fans of the York College Spartans or because they listen to the D3 podcast, for those that are unfamiliar with you and your work, can you give a little bit of a rundown of where you're from, how you fell in love with lacrosse, where you played, and where you coached?
All right. Yeah, absolutely. Well, first, thanks for having me on to kind of talk through all of this video evaluation stuff. I'm excited to really start to introduce our product and tell everybody what we have to offer.
Look at you playing host, because I did a horrible job of telling the audience what this podcast is actually about and just jumped into introducing our guest. And here you come to save the day to make sure that everybody who clicked play on this podcast isn't like, okay, well, I'm here to learn about Dan Kaplan, but I don't know what I'm really here for. So just a tremendous job out of you.
Well, you were going to get it in the title, and you would have figured out a way to do it anyways. I had faith in you for that. Plus, it was more just a means of buying time for me to figure out my entry point to start where figure out how I love lacrosse and tell everybody that. So a little bit of buying time for myself, to be totally honest.
Perfect. Have you bought enough time?
Yes. Yeah.
Go definitely. Ahead.
So we had a really cool conversation yesterday with Steve Govett, who talked about you always remember that first moment that you got your first lacrosse stick. And I can honestly say I think that was when I fell in love with the game, which is, you know, really, really cool. And so I got my first stick because my older brother was 10 years older than me. So he was in high school at the time and he was grounded. I don't know what he got in trouble for. I don't know, probably sneaking out with the girl or something. And so he was grounded and knew that he was going to be allowed out of the house and to socialize and all that type of stuff if he was playing a sport. And he didn't play a spring sport at the time. He played football and basketball. And so next thing you know, he was playing lacrosse because it was a means for him to get out of the house and have some fun. And he came home with a broken shaft from a long pole that broke in practice that day. It was a blue old AL6000, like a bright blue one.
Yep.
And he came home with a broken shaft. He was like, you got to help me saw this thing. And next thing you knew, I had a stick. And I don't know that I've ever put it down since.
So so you were originally from Howard County, Maryland, right?
Yep, that's correct. Howard High School.
Yep. And so that's how you got into it. What position did you play? How would you describe yourself as a player?
Oh, well, I was much more savvy and slick than I was athletic. So I was, I don't know that I classify myself as the best dodger, but I don't know, through high school and middle school, I was probably smart enough to kind of figure out a way to get away with being a dodger. But then as I got to college, my game kind of evolutionized into being this off-ball role where I was really working to, find seams and really help other people on the team get open a lot of times where I'm cutting inside or I'm sealing and doing a lot of different stuff to try and open seams for my teammates rather than really to actually get myself open. So it was kind of an interesting evolution, and Coach Childs really helped me at York kind of learn the subtleties and the nuances of working off ball.
And so, as you mentioned, you finished your playing career at York, but you had a couple stops along the way in college.
Yep, that's correct. Yep. So out of high school, I went down south to play for Coach Kadelka at Lynchburg and loved my time there, really enjoyed it for a couple different reasons. Fit-wise, it wasn't the place for me. I decided to transfer back home to Howard Community College where my mom works. And so we were able to – it was really beneficial for my family. I got to play for Coach Faust there, who I also had a relationship with through high school. And then from there, I was able to bounce and get to York, where Coach Childs gave me a chance. And literally in my recruiting visit there, the team was outside practicing for fall ball. So I had him for a few minutes. And he said to me, he was like, look, man, like, we'll take you. We can have you. Like, we'd love to have another slick right-handed player. He was like, but I can't promise you anything. Like, you're going to have to come here and work. And that was kind of how I knew that it was going to be a good fit. And I didn't want to be promised anything as a transfer. I wanted to come in and earn my right and to be on the team. And that's how you kind of also earn your right to be a part of the team, not just to be on the team, which are two very different things.
And the York College Spartans are well known to fans of D3 lacrosse as a team that has made its ascendance in recent years. When were you there, and you know, what was the team like when you arrived, and what height had you reached at the end of your playing career?
Right. So when I transferred in there, it was 2015, and it was a year that we did not make the NCAA playoffs. So we did not have the level of success that, you know, we would strive for. In the 2 years before that, they did make the NCAA playoffs, and, you know, they were really making some strides to get better. And then in 2016, we had an excellent, excellent, excellent freshman class come in. And from there, things have, you know, really taken off for the program. And, you know, that goes to a lot of the hard work of Coach Hoffmeister, who's now the head coach at Scranton, and Coach Childs, who did all of the hard work in recruiting and, you know, took that 2015 year and swallowed their pride and humbled themselves and said, okay, what do we need to do to get better? What were we doing in 2014 that we weren't doing in 2015? And how can we do that in 2016 to make sure that, you know, we continue to stride forward and not take another step backwards? And since then, they came out with some answers, and, you know, it's been great.
And after you put down your stick, you took a step forward on the sideline and picked up a whistle, right?
Correct. Yep. And so as soon as, you know, my career was coming to an end, I had a, you know, pretty quick meeting with Coach Childs and Coach Hoffmeister at the time. I went in and I said, like, I don't know what I'm going to do when the season ends, and I don't have, you know, a relationship with lacrosse. I don't really want to, I was a history major. I was like, I don't really know what I want to do with that, but I do know that I want to stay in lacrosse. And if you have any ideas on how I can do that, please let me know. And then a couple months later, Coach Childs called me. He was like, I think I have a really good idea on how this can work out. Coach Hoffmeister had jumped down to Roanoke for a season, and that kind of gave me my entry point to fulfill his role as the offensive coordinator. Which is really interesting, because now I'm going from playing with all these guys, and now I'm turning around and have an authority role over them and coaching them. So it was an interesting transition, but fortunately, all the guys there were, you know, really appreciative of the time and effort that it takes for coaches at the Division III level. So they were really respectful and all that type of stuff.
And you did that for two seasons, right?
Three.
And then you transitioned into the inside lacrosse staff. And so I think that's a segue into talking about what this project actually is. And so as Dan mentioned, we're here to talk about the inside lacrosse video evaluation platform. And so I just want to lay the foundation of what it is and how it came to be and what we're trying to accomplish. So in order to do that, got to give a little bit of a background on inside lacrosse as a recruiting content platform. And so just a brief history lesson. Company founded in 1996, first recruiting issue in 1997. Recruiting content continued to develop, mostly focused around ranking players and attending a couple of key events over the course of the subsequent 10 years from 97 to 2007. And then, if memory serves, in 2008, we launched our first Power 100, which ranked 100 players in the incoming college freshman class for the very first time. And that, you know, took another step forward. At that point, we knew that our annual recruiting issue was among, or clearly the most popular piece of content that we produced. And fast forward over the course of the next 5 or 6 years, that popularity of that content continued to increase. And then in 2014, we launched the first IL Invitational, and the role that recruiting content played in the business of Inside Lacrosse evolved as well. And in realizing that, there were a couple of things that I and the rest of our group really wanted to accomplish. The first was basically the model of content generation that we had adopted to that point was we would attend an event and then identify a certain number of players that impressed. And that was really effective, but the problem that I had with it was that it was very short-lived. The event happens at a moment in time, and particularly in an era of early recruiting, when we were talking about players who had either already committed or were freshmen in high school and relatively unknown at the time, the content got eaten up, but it didn't necessarily last, because once 2-3 weeks elapsed after that event happened, and then the story was no longer on the front page of the website, it never really resurfaced. And when you looked at what was going on in other sports, the way in which this content was more frequently presented was by virtue of a player profile. Because essentially what happens is, you know, the player is relevant and newsworthy for 6, 7, 8, 9. I mean, Paul Rabil's been relevant for 20 years. And so if you can create a player profile, and then the content that gets created when you attend an event and evaluate a player is attached to that player's profile, then it remains relevant for a much longer period of time. And so with that idea, we launched our recruiting database, and it was essentially a house for those player evaluations and the commitments where a player had decided to play college lacrosse. So there were a lot of different things that could be added to that, but at the beginning, one of the first was, when we attend an event and write up a player, it's a paragraph of text that doesn't necessarily suggest the degree of performance. And if we attach a number to it, then you can take that text, overlay the number, and it will give you a better sense of how that evaluator, how that person in attendance that day felt about that player's performance, as opposed to trying to parse out the typical terms and verbiage that are used when a player's performance is described. So over the course of, you know, so we launched a recruiting database in 2016 and started inputting of player evaluations. And then we started adding additional features like the high school scoreboard and like the club scoreboard. And then now the player's associations to his or her high school team, his or her club team, his or her future college team all create this network of interconnectedness that brings people to that player's page in addition to the performance at the event. And so we really made an earnest effort in 2019 to increase the volume of player evaluations that we were putting into our database. So a couple of things that are important to know. First and foremost, up to the creation of the video evaluation platform, we had only evaluated boys recruits. And that was the case for a couple of reasons that I'll get into in a little bit. And in addition to that, we have now 3 different ways of identifying or classifying players. Ranking players from 1 to whatever the number. This year for the class of 22, that initial number was 10. And it's been explained why after COVID summer, that was the appropriate choice. And it goes up to 100 for incoming college freshmen. On the girls' side, we don't necessarily rank 100 players right away. We rank a smaller number, and then the number grows as they move through their high school career. Ranking players is pretty obvious. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. It's pretty easy to understand. In 2018, we added our star rating system. And that is distinct from the ranking in the way that it creates tiers and bands. So we identify players on the basis of 5-star, 4-star, and 3-star. And there is a reflection of the differentiation of tier when you move from 5 to 4 and then from 4 to 3. And the subjective application of what a 5-star player is essentially no flaws in that player's game, at least from the 3 main building blocks of player performance. So that's their physical tools, their mental tools, which, you know, really is kind of game IQ, and then their compete level. And if you don't have any flaws in those elements of the game, then, and in addition to that, you are highly, highly consistent. You know, basically every time you have played in front of an inside lacrosse evaluator, the performance has been top-notch. That is the identification of a five-star, and then you know, you remove one of those elements or small parts of both of those elements. You know, there's either a little bit of a flaw in the player's game or they aren't super consistent. Then you now have identified a 4-star, and then further down have identified a 3-star. The player rankings and the player ratings are decided upon on the basis of a long timeline, right? And so they're done incrementally, typically once per year. And there's a lot of opinions that flow into the inside lacrosse staff who then makes those decisions. on the third element of assessing a player's performance is the evaluation score. And so for the last 4 years, the evaluation score has been made on the basis of watching a player play live on a single day, typically, and then writing up that player's performance and evaluation. And evaluators are, in some instances, inside lacrosse staff members, and in many instances, inside lacrosse contributors. Now, whether those are, you know, coaches and former coaches, you know, the network of evaluators is pretty broad. And that 0 to 100 score is meant to reflect that player's performance on that particular day. It doesn't necessarily have a broader scope than that, but even still, there is a lot of value in both what that descriptive text is and says about the player's game, generally speaking, and then also, you know, what that number that was settled upon in terms of showing at least, you know, if that was that player's best day, what their ceiling is, if it was that player's worst day, what that player's floor is, and if it was an average day, you know, typically what that player's level is at. And so one of the things that happened really over the course of the last year when we doubled the number of evaluations in our recruiting database is the frequency of the question, how do I get evaluated, really skyrocketed. And the problem was that we didn't have a good answer for that question. Essentially, the answer was play at a game or an event where you have a decent expectation that an inside lacrosse evaluator is going to be, and then be one of the better or best players there. And that's not really a satisfactory answer to provide someone. And so in conjunction with the fact that when COVID hit and the seasons were shut down and there was a lot of scrambling from college coaches trying to figure out how they were going to identify players, from high school prospects trying to figure out how they were going to get exposed and how they were going to get quality feedback, and from inside the cross in terms of like, how are we going to adjust our business to this? In light of all three of those things happening, we had had the idea of evaluating players via video and creating a line of business out of it for a couple years, but we really made the decision in mid-March that this is what we are going to focus on. And in making that decision, there were a couple of things that happened immediately. The first is, so we are now going to have a better answer to the question, how do I get evaluated? But the problem is, relative to the prior system of we show up on a sideline and choose who we evaluate, and there is very little control that the player being evaluated has over it, now we essentially have a customer. And we have to be concerned with and anticipate customers' questions. So when we provide a score, we have to be able to stand behind, this is how we came to that score. So what we really needed to do was create a system whereby we were going to evaluate players. And so that is where the first part of my rant, for lack of a better word, my speech ends. And Dan, we turn it over to you because you were the guy tasked with developing this system. And we worked really closely on it. But how do you describe the process that we undertook to develop a system of evaluating players via video?
Boom. That was excellent. That was a really thorough explanation. That was, you know what, you should do this for a living, Terry.
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so the first thing I'll say is that when we were tasked with this, we wanted to step away and we said, okay, well, if we're going to be able to provide them with essentially a receipt of how we got to this conclusion, what's our process going to be exactly to be able to do that? And we started with a SurveyMonkey. We said, okay, we need to create questions that aren't just, does this player have good stick skills, right? We needed to create really specific questions that coaches themselves, when they go and recruit, are using. And so
even if they're not using the specific questions, at least these are skills that there's like consensus that they value.
Yep.
What we decided is like, all right, let's identify the skills that are important, and then let's turn those statements, like, it is important to have good stick protection, let's turn that into a question that we can ask an evaluator. somebody who's watching the film.
Right, yeah, bingo. And so from there, we were able to create a whole bunch of questions that are similar to that, that are specific, that aren't just like these generic, how do they do, you know, X, or do they do X well? And so we were able to create all of these really specific questions that allowed us that at the end of it to really, really, really have a good feel for what is creating this player's game, and what is, you know, making this player's game a positive, and what's bringing them back down, and everywhere in between. And then in addition to those questions, the thing that I found to be the most beneficial for this whole product is the timesheet feedback that we were able to provide.
And I want to get to that in a second, because that was what you brought to the table that I really thought elevated the offering. But I don't want to move off of the questions just yet, because there are two additional things that were really important. And really what the timesheet conversation is going to reflect is that when you get a video evaluation, in my opinion, you're really purchasing two things. You're purchasing a score, and you're purchasing a thorough examination of your game. But and it was weird, because that's not what I expected when we started with this process. I really thought that there was going to be a strong correlation between the inputs that yielded your score and what you were seeing when you actually received this sheet of paper, basically, that describes you as a player. But what we ended up doing is, so when we identified these questions, what we wanted to do and what we found we naturally backed ourselves into was the set of answers for these questions are really kind of determined in two ways. Number one was frequency. So it's a reflection of consistency. How often or how frequently does the player do this? And so we set up 5 answer options. So it's basically always, mostly, sometimes, rarely, never. And then the second side was, so it's not a question of how often it happens. It's a question of where does their ability to do this fit at the next level? And so we call those levels questions, and the levels are elite, meaning like the highest end of Division I, standard Division I, high Division II, Division III, low Division II, Division III, and then not at a college level. And, you know, we really talked at length about whether or not those were the proper lines in the sand, so to speak, and whether or not they are literally specifically the best lines in the sand, they give a broad enough opportunity right. for an evaluator to make a decision that is probably a proper reflection of, on a 1 through 5 scale, where that player falls. So then what we do is we average out the answers for the levels questions, we average out the answers for the frequency questions, we put those into a formula that Patrick McEwen, your office mate and our data specialist and everybody's favorite Twitter follow, developed in order to essentially, like, the way that I think about it is like how you get your SAT score, right? So it's a formula that is meant to reflect where, like, it is meant to translate the answers to those, the averages to the answers to those questions into our 0 to 100 scale and where the bands of players are supposed to fall. And then we tested that. And then, you know, by and large, we felt good about where the answers fell and how the scores tend to reflect kind of the subjective opinion of the evaluator of that person's game.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And but so that wasn't enough for you.
Right. And so we did go through and, that probably would have been enough to yield really, really, really awesome answers and to give a score for the player, which is great. But do they get better as a player from that? Was what I really wanted to answer. Like, how is buying a video evaluation from Inside the Cross going to make me a better player? And so that was kind of where we fell in and kind of backed ourselves into that feedback sheet, which it says, okay, well, I'm going to give you this feedback sheet. And not only does this feedback sheet provide the timestamps and, you know, really specific coaching points, but it's going to give you a justification for why the answers to the questions are what the answers to the questions were, as well as, okay, in this exact situation, I am now being evaluated by a coach who I may not have, you know, access to, a coach that is as savvy and as smart and as, you know, experienced as the coaches that we have in our pool. And so, you know, this coach is telling me that in this exact situation, I may have been better off doing this. And being able to take that and apply it to your game is really something that you can use if you're doing it correctly and really being coachable, that you can use to take your level, your game to the next level. You know, that is something that is direct feedback, super specific to you, to your game, to something that happened in a game to you that I just watched as an evaluator. And so now I can give you that direct coaching point to make you a better player. And so that, I mean, you can probably tell just in my voice how I'm, you know, describing it, that, you know, that's the part of the product that really gets me jacked up is, you know, being able to provide them with the timesheets that, yeah, I mean, it gives you the justification for why you got the score you got. But more importantly, like, use this and you're going to get a better score next time you do it.
So, and that's where the expectation that I had heading into this process ended up deviating from the final result in a really positive way. So, you know, at Inside Lacrosse, we, generally speaking, do not consider ourselves to be coaches because we are media, right? And so, you know, our brand and our business has not really been about helping players get better over the course of time. It's about telling the audience who the good players are. And that's the foundation upon which we have credibility and expertise in evaluating players. But part of this concept was that if we are going to get the volume of people who we think want to be evaluated, asking us to evaluate them, we're going to require manpower beyond the walls of our office. Now, interestingly, like 70% of our office is coaches. I am not a coach. I want to be a coach someday, but to this point in my life, I haven't had the opportunity to do that. So the fact that you, who thinks about this very acutely, both from both the customer angle, I think because you right now are working with a lot of folks who fall directly into what this customer pool would look like, right? High school age kids who want to know more about their game, want access to a different coaching voice, etc., and aspire to play at the next level. And then also, I'm sure that you can imagine how you would have felt both in terms of deciding whether or not you wanted this and also after having purchased it, receiving it, what you would have wanted from it, right? So those are two different points of view. And then thirdly, by virtue of having been a college coach, both in terms of what you would have wanted the typical York recruit to have heard early in his development, also alongside like what you are actually looking for as a York college coach. So those four perspectives really, I think, are the foundation upon which you set the standard for this is what we are going to give these kids in addition to just a number that they have to parse out what it means. So we did a fair amount of feedback or a fair amount of market research in May and June before we launched this to get a sense for what people wanted. But we launched it softly, I would say, in the sense that, you know, there's been ads on the website and there have been a couple. There was a dedicated email that went out on August 1st, and then it's been included in most of the editorial emails that we have sent to our database since. But we haven't really done a lot on our platform to push this. And that's because, you know, we are growing our network of evaluators. We want to make sure that there is consistency in terms of that group. And in so doing, there's a lot of work that we are doing in order to train them and take a second look at the evaluations that they're producing. And so we wanted to do this little slow trickle because we didn't want to be overwhelmed and then have to like essentially fill all these orders and not have the level of quality control that we wanted. But we are six-ish weeks in, and we have delivered several dozen of these purchased evaluations, which means that, you know, as the guy who oversees the delivery of these and a lot of the customer service as well, you've had access to a lot of the feedback. So how do you describe what people say after they get it?
Well, the biggest thing for me is that everybody has responded so overwhelmingly pleased with the level of detail. Once you get one of these back, there's no possible way that you could look at that, get the feedback sheet, see the score, see the detail in the recommendation section, see the detail in the additional feedback section, see the detail through all the timestamps and the specific coaching points, and then be like, I don't think I got my worth out of this from Inside Lacrosse. You know, like that just has not happened, and I do not see that happening. it's just you're getting another level of detail and attention that is for an entire length of a game film that you as the player select. You're having a coach watch you specifically from the very second of that game starting to the very end of that game starting, right?
Like and if watching I'm watching the game multiple times, probably.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it takes a couple times, and you know, maybe you miss a play, so you rewind it. And fortunately, a lot of guys that have been submitting have been using YouTube links, so it gives you a 5-second click back right there, and so you can. And I mean, this is exactly what all of the coaches that we have in our pool are doing right now with their college guys already. You know, if it's just a little bit different, it's a little bit tailored because when they're sitting at home watching, they're not watching one specific guy. But if they needed to go home and they felt like, you know, their ex attacked and that day didn't have a great day, guess what? They're going to go home. They're going to watch the film. They're going to watch all of the offensive possessions. They're going to use 5-second rewinds to see what their player was seeing in that instance. And they're going to give them the feedback, you know? And so it's really a process that they're already doing, that they're already used to. And so it allows for them to be really, really, really productive and efficient in creating these awesome feedback and this awesome feedback and really, really, really strong coaching points that these guys are going to be able to use moving forward and really apply to their game.
So I think we've covered most of this, right? In terms of why we did this, what it is, what we have heard from people about why they have decided to engage with this. It's tough. I don't even know if it's a product or a service. I guess it's kind of both. And also I will say, like, we understand, like, the brand of this, it's not great, right? Like, it is, there's a lot of confusion here. So that's one of the reasons we wanted to do this product, or I'm sorry, this podcast, but at the same time, like, we also wanted to be clear, right? And so I guess I just argued against why having a confusing name. But one of the things that I wanted to share about that is we knew when we started talking about this on March 18th, March 19th, that, like, we needed a term that was going to make it very clear what we were talking about and when we were talking about what we were talking about. So I remember the first thing we did was we had I was like, all right, we're going to do a 10-minute brainstorm about what we're going to call this project. And I can't really explain why, but we called it Vulcan. And the best explanation I have for why we called it Vulcan is Vulcan starts with a V and video starts with a V. And to the extent that, like, there's, you know, a little bit of a, I don't know, more high-minded explanation for that. Like, when you vulcanize rubber, you make it tougher, right? It's the idea of when you forge steel, it's similar. I'm not a scientist, so please don't tell me that I'm wrong. But if that's the case, right, then, you know, the metaphor is that Project Vulcan is supposed to help players get tougher. It's supposed to help them get better. It's supposed to give them, it's supposed to be a process that readies them for the road, so to speak, readies them for the next level. And so I think the biggest thing that we have to do is get the word out, right? And so this podcast is an example of that. But what else? Like, what are the other things that you're thinking about in terms of what we're going to do next with this?
Well, the biggest thing to me is I think this thing grows exponentially by word of mouth. I think that we're going to get a few, you know, ones by the time we get to 75 purchases or so, the returned products are going to start being advertisements themselves. You know, every dad talks to every other dad on the sidelines at the club games, and every mom is talking to the moms of the other teams. And, you know, one of them gets one, they get the detail back and they say, man, this is really cool. Now they're talking about it on the sideline. Next thing you know, Jimmy's dad told Timmy's dad, and now Timmy is, you know, getting an inside lacrosse video evaluation because Jimmy thought that it was really, really valuable and saw that, you know, he got the feedback sheet. He saw what inside lacrosse evaluators thought was something that he does well. And he saw things that you need to focus on to do a little bit better at. And, you know, he's able to get some recommendations on how to go about doing those things. And, you know, it wasn't just, he has a really good stick skills, and, you know, it's really, really quantifiable and really specific coaching points. So I think the word of mouth here, as we start to deliver more and more, is really going to help this take off.
One thing that happened with one of the early evaluations that we delivered was the evaluation got delivered, and like 4 days later, 5 days later, a player committed to a NESHAC program. Do you see this as a helpful tool? If a player that was on your radar or a player that you were talking to sent his timesheet to you when you were at York, how would you have received it as a college coach?
I would love that, especially if he was able to include the game film, right? If a player sent me the game film and then that was evaluated in the points that were placed in there, that would be something that's,
It
A,
makes
like
your job
you're
more efficient.
separating yourself from the pack a little bit, not just sending the same generic email that coaches get over and over and over again. But B, it's like, okay, like this is what the side of the cross said. This is what the game film is. I'd love if you could take a second to see what you think for yourself. And then, they're not just gonna, the coaches that are do their due diligence in recruiting aren't just gonna see it alone and take our word for it,
Totally.
and those aren't the coaches that players want to go play for anyways. So they're gonna do their due diligence anyways. But to be able to use that in tandem and use that as an additional resource, and now it's like, okay, like, yeah, that was really good. Now that buys a little bit of credit for the next one that comes in as well. And so it's this kind of spiraling thing that's going to continue to evolve.
We've talked indirectly about an important point, but I was talking to a top five Division I assistant coach earlier this week, and one of the things that we talked about was how this summer changed the way that college coaches, specifically Division I coaches who weren't allowed to be on sidelines, utilize video and recruiting. And one of the things that he said is, for a decade, video recruiting has been about your highlight reel. And his point was, highlight reel tells me what you can do. It doesn't tell me what you do, and it doesn't tell me what you can't do, which is why I have to watch full games. And that was a big part of some of the early feedback that we got, which is there's a presumption that we were going to evaluate players on the basis of their highlight reel. We made a very, very hard line intentional decision that that is not something that we are going to do. In addition to that, there are opportunities to utilize, for lack of a better way of putting it, automated video editing in order to watch just the cuts of a game that you were involved in. Even then, it's better than a highlight reel, but it's still not the same experience as watching a full game and focusing on one player, because there's a lot that goes on that a player is not involved in that builds the context by which a player has to make choices, right? So if we, even for a face-off specialist, like if I don't know whether the preceding goal was scored by your team or your opponent's team, and I don't like know what the score of the game is, then I'm losing something relative to the context of watching that face-off. And similarly for an attack mid, if your opponent had just gone on a three-goal run and you pass up a shot in transition, well, if I don't know that, I might think that that was a bad decision by you. But in this instance, when your defense had just played 3 minutes of solid defense, or I'm sorry, of extended defense, and given up three goals, well, in that case, passing up that shot might be a better choice. So
Right.
watching a full
Absolutely.
game is really valuable for getting the full picture of a player's performance in that game, which is an obvious statement, but it needs to be said explicitly, I think. But then in addition to that, so so coaches had to adjust to all of the, kind of nuances of evaluating via video. But they also needed to rely a little bit more on word of mouth. And so that's where the addition of a third party, and particularly a third party with 20 plus years of experience and the credibility that goes along with that, combined with the fact that we are extending our voice to college coaches, and I mean, it shouldn't go without saying, try to create additional income for them at a moment when they badly need it on the basis of what has happened over the course of the last summer. And I really make the analogy, and it's not a good analogy because, anybody that follows big tech knows that, you know, the gig economy has a lot of downsides for workers. But, you know, this is a service where, you know, Inside Lacrosse takes a percentage of the fee, but a good percentage of the fee goes to the evaluator who actually, you know, put in the work in order to produce this. So there's a lot of, you know, kind of associated economic reasons that we pursued this model as well. But the point that I'm making is, so we watch, the evaluator watches the entire game and creates a sheet that, once you share it with a college coach, makes their watching your game more efficient because they have the time marks that they should be paying attention to in order to have a reaction to your choices on the field, your performance, etc. Your thoughts?
Yep. Yeah, no. I don't know that I particularly have any strong thoughts after on that one. But, yeah, I mean, it's just such an interesting product that really doesn't exist anywhere else, at least to my knowledge, terms of the – go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yes, and I agree with you. But the biggest way in which it deviates is the number, right? There are other services that can analyze your game and provide you with feedback. But where they fall short is putting you in the context of your peers, right? And that's right. Where the number really does provide value in terms of both creating a classification of you with your peers and also the ability to say, if I am a 79, this is the type of next level home that I should be looking at. If I'm an 88, this is the type of next level home that I should be looking at. If I'm a 91, this is where I can, you know, expect to be projected at the next level.
Right. Yeah. Yep. And we've had plenty of questions, you know, like when we purchase an evaluation or, you know, how does this equate to a ranking or rating? And, like we kind of addressed in the beginning, they're two very separate products. And so we don't have an exact formula or anything that's going to allow you to say, okay, I received a 83 on my video evaluation. That projects me as, you know, blank in terms of rating or rankings. But what it does do is, as you said, it allows you to kind of see it compared to your peers, okay, compared to other people in other classes who received similar evaluation scores. You know, what types of homes did they end up at?
So that's essentially it for this podcast. If you want to know more, if you have specific questions, email getevaluated@insidelacrosse.com. And if you like what you heard, visit insidelacrosse.com/getevaluated. It has instructions for how to purchase an evaluation and a little bit more information that we might not have gone over. But if that's the case, then either we did a bad job in this podcast or that is an exceptional webpage, because we just talked for like 35 or 40 minutes about this and that webpage has like 600 words on it. Dan, you're the man. We appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me here on a Saturday morning. I love it.
Of course, buddy. And follow Dan on Twitter. It's at dkaplan46, right?
Bingo. Don't wear it out.
We will be back next week with more Inside Lacrosse podcast. We're going to talk to Hallie Griggs and Ty Zanders about what's going on in the recruiting world. And we've got a couple other surprise guests in store as well. So if you like what you heard, leave a rating and review, hit that subscribe button, and we look forward to talking to you again next week.